Amen, amen, amen. Amen. We come rejoicing this morning. Church, I'm going to give you a short thing to say this morning. So repeat after me. I really love the Lord. Amen. I hope you mean that. We've come rejoicing again today. This is another Lord's Day, and we're so thankful for this opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. Want to say that we have been blessed. You know, we got about three and working on four dynamic duos when it comes to song leaders, and Brother Lyles has been added to that. And so we kind of like Marvel comic books. We got we got all the dynamic duos going on, and I praise God for that. Thank Brother Rose and his continued motivation and encouragement of those young men and individuals to lead singing. We want to thank Brother Cedric Stokes, who led us in announcements and updated us. We want to thank also Brother Carly Sinners, who led us to the throne of God in prayer. And we want to thank Deacon Mark Dawson, who read to us from the Word of God. If you're visiting this morning, we want you to know that we appreciate your presence. We value you greatly, and you are indeed our honored guest this morning. We have one who filled out a card. I'm going to call your name, ask you to please stand. We have Eleanor Nelson, who's visiting with us. Normally attends New Hope Baptist Church, Amarillo, Texas, but she's not in Texas, so that means she's looking for a home. All right. And she's a friend of Carly Freeman, and so we're our sister Carly Freeman. And so we're so grateful that you come to be with us today. And we do have a packet of information and gift coming your way. Just a few brief things to mention, and I'll share with you the message. Last week, I preached on the other side of the storm, emphasizing the importance of fact that we can even see God in the storm, and we can when tragedy occurs, that it becomes even an opportunity for us. And so just a reminder this morning, we told you a whole week ahead of time, but just as a reminder, don't forget we're having a second collection today, and it will be to show our love to the victims of Hurricane Harvey. And certainly we know that we've got one, two, three punches of hurricanes that seem to be coming that way. And so we just want to continue to be in prayer and even be ready to help if there's need, even in the future. Also, just as a reminder, we want to see all of the leaders at our 4 o'clock meeting today. We gave you guys a break in August. We want to see you this coming Sunday afternoon. Turn in your Bibles once again to Micah chapter 6. I'll be reading from the New American Standard, verses 6 through 8, and from there we will launch our message for this morning. The Bible says, "With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." There are some biblical concepts that are a little harder to understand. The message for today will focus on one of those concepts. The concept is justice. The title of the message today is, What is Justice? As we look at Micah chapter 6, I'm lifting that word. We know the context as Micah is speaking in terms of speaking to God's people, Israel, and how that they sometimes got caught up in the religiosity of God's will, but forgot how to put their heart and soul into doing God's will. They got into doing the external acts, but their heart was far from God. And so as we look at this text, we need to understand that as we look at justice, I think we're going to see something a little different than what maybe we're used to thinking. Anyway, everyone wants justice. Amen? Amen. There are many who are crying out for justice today. What are they seeking? There have been many families who have cried and who are still crying out for justice. They're crying out for justice because they have lost a loved one, usually an unarmed black man, a young black man, at the hands of law enforcement. Usually, not always. God has always required that those who are in authority should be just. As we look at the Old Testament scriptures in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 15, the Bible says, So David reigned over all Israel, and David administered justice and righteousness for all his people. Again in Jeremiah 22 and verse 15, the Bible says, Do you become a king because you are competing in Seder? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. The wisdom writer says in Proverbs 8 and verse 15, By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. Everybody wants some justice. God says that those who are in authority, you're there because you're supposed to know how to be just. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, If you see oppression of the poor and denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked at the sight, for one official watches over another official, and there are high officials over them, or higher officials over them. Some of us might hear those words and we might think God is blowing off justice. He's saying it's all right. Hey, it's a fact of life. Don't you know that some will not mete out justice as they should? But I think a closer examination really points to, he's pointing out that there's one official over another official. Not everyone will do right, but that official who's not doing right has another official, and there's one higher than him. So God kind of puts it in perspective. Isn't that the way it goes? You might go to your boss. Your boss isn't doing right, but your boss has someone over them. Amen? So again, God knows what he's talking about. God has set it up that way. Let us also notice there are many families that are crying out for justice. They're crying out for justice because they lost someone to crime in the streets. And the murder has not been solved yet. Matter of fact, when you go down Lasher, you'll notice that there is a wall of justice. Many families are crying out because they have lost loved ones, and still those individuals have not been brought to justice, as we would say. I want to talk to you just a little bit about justice this morning. Everyone wants justice. We seek justice, and this is what we mean by justice. We want just behavior or treatment. We want a concern for justice and a genuine respect for people. We want fairness. We want justness. We want fair play. We want fair-mindedness. We want equity, and we want equality. That's what we mean when we say justice. And everyone has a sense of justice. You remember from the text I used last week in Acts chapter 28 and verse number 4. When Paul and those other prisoners and the sailors had arrived after the shipwreck on the island, and when they made the fire for them, and when they were warming up to the fire, and Paul took some pieces of wood and put on the fire, and the Bible says that a viper came out of the fire and attached itself to his hand. And everyone was looking, expecting him to swell up, expecting him to fall over dead. Isn't that right? And then some of them made the comment, here's justice, made the comment, he has escaped the storm, but he could not escape justice. You know, that's true sometimes. So everyone has a sense of justice. Here's how it ought to be. Here's how you ought to treat me. Here's how it ought to have gone down. Here's how things ought to be. Newsflash. The world is not always fair. Don't shoot me. The world is not always fair. We live in a world where the rich get richer. Corporate executives continue to accumulate riches. We live in a world where they receive bonuses and stocks options, and where their net worth just continues to go into the millions, while there are hourly workers who have to take to the streets begging for $15 an hour. Anybody hearing me today? We live in a world where some throw away more food in a day than others have to live on. It's not always fair, isn't that right? But I want to bring into focus something a little clear. Let us look at it from a biblical perspective when we talk about justice. Justice according to God. Is that all right? And let's just throw out, put it all on the table and get a definition here in terms of justice. I'm going to give you, there were a lot of others, but I'm going to give you four this morning to kind of capture our thoughts. The first is the quality of being just, righteous, equitableness, or moral righteousness to uphold the justice of a cause. The second is the moral principle determining just conduct, conformity to it in dealing or treatment. The third, the administration of deserved punishment or reward. And the fourth, bring to justice the cause to come before a court for trial or to receive punishment for one's misdeeds. The murderer was brought to justice. As we look at those four, certainly many of us understand a couple of those really well. But there's one aspect that I don't think we understand too well. And that is that God requires moral justice. He requires moral justice and righteousness. And in looking up the words, at some point you see where it talks about justice and then it becomes righteousness. And then you have the two together. God says, and here's the whole idea about it. God says, the only person who can do right, the only person who is right, the only person who knows right is the person who knows me, the person who walks with me, and the person who tries to do my will. That's why sometimes those who are in positions of authority don't do what they're supposed to do. That's why sometimes you have people crying out in the streets wanting justice because justice hasn't been done. Because the people don't know God who are in the positions to do justice. Also, there's no blurring of the lines. Romans 13 says that God made the government for the purpose of taking care of those that are weak and also meeting out justice. But God's justice is a justice that is based in a relationship with Him. And it's a moral thing. In other words, I will treat you right because God told me I need to treat you right. I won't steal or I won't do things to harm you because God has told me that's what I need to do. The person that walks with God is far better. That's why in Micah, as we look at our text, that's why the question was raised. With what shall I come before the Lord? Shall I bow myself before God on high? Shall I come to Him with burnt offerings, with yieldings of calf? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts? And God didn't want anybody to give their firstborn. The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. And then he simply says, God has told you what to do. First of all, before you do any act of worship, before you do anything, any service, the first thing you need to do is to get your heart right with God. He has told you, oh man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Paul said in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 13, for it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. When you know what's right to do, do it. James 4:17 says, and to him who knows what is good to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. That is justice when we do God's will. And I want to give you some food for thought as I bring the lesson to a close. The question is this. We cry out for justice. And everyone is crying out for justice. And I got nothing wrong with people being treated fairly, equitably, as like they should. But some food for thought this morning. Do we really want justice from God? Did you hear me? Do we really want justice from God? Notice something. Justice requires reward for good deeds and punishment for misdeeds. Justice demands that we pay the price for the things that we have done. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse number 20, the Bible simply says, the person who sins will die. Not your daddy, not your mama, not the person next door, not your brother, not your sister. If you did it, you're going to pay the price. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, the Bible brings us to reality by pointing out we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we can take the smirk off our face. We can get that little halo. We can make it disappear. Because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, there's not one of us, Romans 3 and verse number 10, who's righteous. No, not one of us. Right now, that we understand that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, the Bible says, "For after all, it is only just," there's that word, "for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." Did you get that? That was a news flash. It says there that some of you folks have been abused. Some of you folks have been misused. Some of you folks have had some things done to you. But it says no one thing. Hey, let me tell you something. There's a whole bunch of cold cases where the murderers haven't been found, and they might not be found in this lifetime. Amen? But he says to these folks here in Thessalonica, he says to them, it's no small thing for God to repay with affliction the folks that's been afflicting you. You know, I have a personal testimony, and I never wished ill to anyone. But there was a time in my corporate career where folks conspired against me. Had an old boy who wanted my job. And so he and the person in charge, the area manager, got together. And they decided to switch my job with his job. But little did he know that he gave me a blessing. He gave me a blessing because I ended up only having to work 5 days a week. Went from maintenance to finance. Learned some good stuff. Didn't have to go in early. But he thought he was getting all my money because them maintenance boys make a lot of money, see? And then the area manager got messed up in the head trying to make me work on Sundays. See, this was all conspired to do some stuff to me. But I just kept on going, doing what God told me to do. And don't you know, never wish ill will or nothing, but don't you know that that area manager's wife got sick and he was walking around like a little sick puppy? And I'm just simply saying, folks, before you do your dirt, know some dirt is coming your way. And the child of God don't have to lift a hand because no weapon that is formed against us will be prosperous. God will fight our battles. We just need to understand that. You see, God one day will straighten it out. You see, we must understand that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, we cry out for justice, but when it comes to God, we need to ask ourselves, do I really want justice? Because even though this person has these sins, I got some sins. If God holds him accountable, if God takes him to the court, and if God throws the book at him, God should throw the book at me too. Oh, yeah. You see, because we are flawed, because we are prone to weaknesses, and because we tend to have missteps, we don't ask God for justice. Instead, we plead for mercy. In Psalms 51 and verse number 14, when David had sinned and he's repenting and when he's on his knees, he didn't say, God, give me justice. He said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, that my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. He said, give me mercy, God. Forgive me of the foolishness that I have done. Oh, yeah. He didn't ask for justice. In Romans 6 and verse number 23, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We are deserving of death. We have worked, we have earned. The things that we have done says that God should smoke us. Amen. Oh, but there's good news. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And if we are faithful to repent of our sins and to confess our sins, God is righteous to forgive us, righteous and just to forgive us of all our sins, all of our unrighteousness. That's what God will do. We just have to understand that we need mercy, and we need something else, but we don't need justice from God. Again, in case you didn't catch it earlier, let me say it again in a different way. No one escapes God's justice. So we can relax, we can exhale, we can let it go, because no one escapes God's justice. And why do you say that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer to the things that we have done in this body according to that which we have done, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We all one day will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And everything that we have done, we will be called into account for doing it. Scary? It should be. Romans 14 and verse number 12. The Bible says, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Folks, that ought to straighten folks that's crooked. Amen. That ought to make folks who are walking slew-footed start to walk straight. Amen. Knowing that no one escapes the justice of God. And also, many of us are sweating, stressing, and we are doing everything, and we're just putting ourselves in the hospital because we are trying to take some justice into our hands. God got it. You don't have to worry about it. If he or she does not change their ways, God will take care of it. Amen. So you don't have to worry about it and try to make it happen. It will happen. Amen. And I know this is a little too deep for most of us. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to be praying the person come to repentance so that they don't get whooped by God. Amen. I know, but we want them to get a whooping, don't we? We just like siblings, you know. Hey, he did this, and you going to whoop him, Daddy? We want to see him get whooped. But no, we shouldn't be like that. Here's the last point. Lord, I'll take your grace and mercy instead of justice. We can thank Christ for grace and mercy. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, for his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus. Only until Christ came did we understand what grace was about. You see, because all of us have been found guilty, the sentence is we are guilty, we deserve to die, we're guilty, we deserve everything, all of the punishment, every stripe. But Isaiah said, Christ was wounded for our transgressions. By his stripes, we all factor into it because he became the scapegoat for you and me. So then, We want grace and mercy, and we thank Christ for the grace and mercy that God has given. We need to understand that our justice is with the Lord. In Proverbs, the wisdom writer says, Proverbs 29 and 26, many seek rulers' favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. And that's just the truth of the matter, folks. Ephesians 2 and verse number 8. And really it's good to read verse 1 through 8, but Ephesians 2 verse number 8 simply says, by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of our own selves. It is the gift of God. By grace we have been saved. Someone has said, what is grace? G-R-A-C-E. It is God's riches at Christ's expense. It is undeserved merit. It's reward when we should have received punishment. Amen. Oh, how good it is to know God. I'm just going to close this morning by simply saying, our justice is in Christ Jesus, but we must get in to Christ. And the only way that you can get into Christ is that, one, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Except you believe I'm He, you shall die in your sins. You have to be willing to repent of your sins. You know, sometimes we are hard-headed. Yeah, you've seen some folks, maybe your children or someone, your husband, your wife. You tell them something to do and they don't do it. You tell them again, they don't do it. You seen them and they hit the brick wall, they fall back, and they hit it again. I know, you've seen someone like that. But repentance is when we decide that we want to change. Like, I'm tired of hitting the wall. Maybe I should listen. Lord, I need to give you some time. When we change our mind about what we're doing, and then that change of mind, metanoia, the Greek word, that change of mind results in a change of behavior. You can't do anything until you first think of it. Till you conceive it, believe it, and then you can what? Achieve it. You can't do it unless you have put your mind in the right place. Be willing to confess Christ before men. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. If we confess Christ before men, He will confess us before the Father. If we deny Him, He will deny us. Then be willing. See, here's where we really get the nitty-gritty taken care of. Be willing to come off your high horse. Be willing to take the necessary steps and get in the waters of baptism. Baptism, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse number 26, for all who have been baptized into Christ, King James says, have put on Christ. Or you have clothed yourselves with Christ, according to the New American Standard. You have gotten into Christ. That's the only way you're going to get into Christ. It's through baptism. The only way that the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ will make a difference in your life is if you're baptized. Because in Romans 6, baptism reenacts a death, burial, and a resurrection. We die to the old man. We die to the way of sin. Our sins are washed away. We get up from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. And then we have one thing to do. And sometimes we stumble over that and we trip. To live faithfully unto death. And God says, I'll give you a crown that will not fade away. Be faithful unto death. It might sound easy, but that's what we have to do. I know someone here today needs to look at their life and to really ask the question, do I really want God's justice? You see, even if you say no, if you do nothing, God's justice is coming. It's coming because people are crying in the street wanting justice. It's coming because there are cold cases. It's coming because people are turning their backs on God. For God to be God, justice has to come. Amen. So whether you obey him or not, his justice is coming. But the good news is he has already given grace and mercy. He has loved us so much, he gave his only begotten son so that we should not perish but have everlasting life. I told you enough. If you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, come give your life to Christ this morning. Be baptized. Put him on and live for him. If you're here this morning, take a look at it. Just because you come to church once a month don't really mean you're getting it good done for God. Because when we truly love God, we realize we can't do enough. We realize how far and how short we come. Now I'm going to let the cat out of the bag a little bit early. But I'm going to be pushing this. If I have to stand on my head, I'm going to do it. I'll have somebody else hold me up. But here's the thing. I think it's time for the church to renew our relationship with God. And as I said, I was going to wait, but I'm going to do it now. And I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do it again and again and again. We're going to start a 13-week series. On Wednesdays, we're studying, and it's going to be about renewing your spiritual life. It's a whole bunch of us who needs to renew our spiritual life with God. And there are going to be 13 different subjects that will deal with our life. And I'm probably going to preach a sermon, 13 different ones relating to that. Here's what I'm asking you to do, and I'm starting today. See, we are too inconsistent with God. We show up every now and then. We do a little here and there. But can we get consistent with God? Amen. Folks that ain't come at once a month, can you come every Sunday? Amen. For 13 weeks, let's renew our spirit. Let's renew our spiritual life and see if we can make some different things happen. See if Redford can look different than the way it looks right now. Because I can tell you something, God don't like the way it looks right now. It ain't just for preachers and elders. Living the Christian life is for all of us. Y'all going to get sick of me. But I love you. I love you. If you're here this morning and you need to come, please come.
All my trials and all my cares, I can
will you come this morning
them to my Lord and heal my burdens bear.
Will you come to Jesus this morning?
Through the pain, through the pain.
Oh, I know somebody needs to come. Will you come?
The strength. The strength said only Jesus.
It's not too late to come. Why don't you come?
Me hope through all my trials. All my trials. I'm on my knees, on my knees, and I'm bowed in prayer. In prayer, I take all my trials to God and gently lay them there. Said he still hears, he still hears, and he dries my tears. Dries my tears, said only Jesus, lifts me up through all my trials. I'm burden low and full of care, full of care. Sorrows weigh my shoulders down and fill me with despair. But God knows.
It sounds good, doesn't it, church?
Mercy shows.
Why don't you come and give your life to Jesus right now?
It shows only Jesus gives me strength. Oh, through all my trials, sing my trials, and all my cares, I can tell them to my Lord, and He'll my burdens bear. And through the pain and the strain, only Jesus brings me hope through all my trials, only Jesus lifts me up through all my trials. Only Jesus brings me hope. Through all my trials,
Amen, amen. I want to thank you for listening to the message this morning. You've been a wonderful audience. It's my prayer that you've been uplifted, that you've been encouraged and motivated by the things that were proclaimed. We are blessed today that we have a precious soul that has decided to come and give her life to Jesus Christ. Lynette Thompson has been attending with us for several Sundays, and I want to thank my lovely wife, Sister Snow, for spending time with her and presenting the gospel to her this morning. And she is ready to put Christ on in baptism.